The Internet, the final frontier.
Well, hello. This week, it's SP Explosion on Boldly Going Nowhere. We interview some fantastic artists. Colin and Sean have one fantastic breakfast, and I didn't get any of it. Fantastic. I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
And I'm Sean Holmes.
And you just got to the good part. Strap in and sit tight, because we are Boldly Going Nowhere. Alright, everyone, here we are in the aftermath of SPX.
SP Explosion.
You've got to be ready to stop saying that at this point.
Yes, I'm seriously fucking sick and tired of saying it.
And I'm tired of listening to it.
I bet you are.
Because I listened to all of them straight through. They are quite awesome. They are so awesome. I love them.
Are they?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, if you're listening to this recap, be prepared because you're going to hear that SP Explosion thing about... Well, probably 15 times. There's 11 interviews. Yeah. And we'll probably end up saying it a couple more times.
Yeah.
So I can only guess probably at least 15 times you're going to hear Colin say that.
I'm sorry in advance. I really am.
Explode.
I know.
Guys, that was a blast.
Yes, that was probably one of the highlights of my year.
The day I was there, it was really fun. I had fun, even though I wasn't on the day where you interviewed the majority of the people.
But you saw what we saw. You were there for the overall con experience.
It was very con. I loved it.
Well, actually, you know what? Since Justin and I have actually been before, why don't we get your opinion on the whole thing, Sean?
Well, as a noob.
As a noob. As in, like, I don't usually go to conventions. I'm not a convention type of nerd. I never really went. People invited me before to like Anacons or whatever, but they always wanted me to cosplay, and I like anime, but not enough to dress up as it. So I heard about Small Press Expo, and I didn't hear any costume or cosplay in the title, so I was like, okay, I'll go through it. Very awesome, very friendly people. It was very calm area, and just felt very chill. I liked it.
Yeah.
Very chill. And the artists were really friendly when we were going around asking everyone for interviews. I was amazed that they were... And then when Jeff Jacques said yes, I was like, what?
Right. Because a lot of people aren't aware of this. I mean, when we originally set out to do this particular episode, we had only originally scheduled 5 interviews.
Yeah.
And the 5 interviews, I believe, the original 5 interviews were with Tiny Kitten Teeth, Christopher Hastings from Dr. McNinja.
Hello with Cheese.
Hello with Cheese. And then there were one or two others that we had gotten a possible maybe on. John Allison.
Yeah. And John Rosenberg.
And then we got to the actual convention, and we weren't sure because we got there, and even when we got there, we had gotten there a half hour early. And there were already like 300 people ready to go. And so we were like, okay, we need to be prepared for the contingency that we're not going to be able to interview everybody. Because it was going to be very possible, because obviously their primary goal in this whole thing is, you know, they're there to make money. It's their job.
Yeah. In fact, not only did we not have to cancel any interviews, we actually got so many interviews that I actually at one point had to turn down someone for an interview. I maybe didn't mention this guy to you two, that this happened, but there was another group, as I was walking around, Lena had been walking around by herself all day at the convention, and I came up at one point, you know, while we had a little break, and she was like, you should talk to these guys over here that I met. They're called Square City Comics. They do print comics. They're based in D.C., so she's like, I met these guys that seem really, really nice. And she brought me by their table. And they were like, hey, do you like webcomics? And I was like, yes, I love webcomics. In fact, I'm with a podcast and we're doing a whole bunch of interviews. We're interviewing webcomic artists. Then I realized I'd kind of made a mistake by saying that, because it would then, if you know, after telling them that I'm doing all these interviews,
like, why aren't you interviewing us?
Exactly. With yeah. After telling them that I'm doing all these interviews, it would be a huge faux pas if I then didn't ask them for an interview.
By the way, you're broke eating macaroni and cheese. I'm going to go out to Longhorn and get a steak. I have enough for two. I'm just going to get extra for myself.
Yeah.
No, it's sort of like that.
It's sort of like that. Yes, in a metaphorical sense, these guys look very hungry for an interview. They're, you know, they're definitely up and coming. And so their eyes, you know, lit up when I said, oh, you know, well, maybe we could interview guys. And then I realized, as soon as I said that, I'm like, we don't have the time to interview any more people. I mean, like, it's pretty cool to actually say that, and maybe it sounds braggy, but we actually could not fit in any more interviews. I mean,
we started interviewing people at noon. No, 12:30.
11:30.
Oh, that's actually, no, that's right. We started.
This is on Sunday.
Sunday. We had interviewed John Allison on Saturday, and he was our one interview, and then we ended up having to switch most of our interviews to Sunday because the con was a lot less lax and people could take a couple minutes off to come accommodate us. But we started interviewing people at 11:30 was our first interview on Sunday. We didn't finish until 5 p.m., and in that time period, I think we only got like maybe like a 20-minute break between each chunk of interviews we did.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously things run over, people, you know, you have to wait for people, or particularly, you know, waiting for Jeff Jacks. Not his fault, he's got a ton of fans.
He's got a ton of fans, plus this is how he makes his livelihood, so we needed to accommodate for him.
Yeah, we're by no means complaining about that. He was incredibly gracious and nice to us, considering how popular he is. But that is also the interesting thing about SPX, and I guess webcomics in general, is inside the walls of that convention, some of these guys are huge names. Everyone knows who they are. They've got lines out the door, in Jeff Jack's case. But you go outside, out into the street, ask the random person if they know who Jeff Jacks is or knows what Dr. McNinja is.
I do agree. It's very niche, but if you peek beyond that, it's a huge niche. I was surprised how many people, because you just said web comics. I'm like, yeah, I read some every so often. Yeah, I saw some questionable content, and sometimes I'll read like Scott Johnson's My Extra Life, and I'll read those, and those are pretty hilarious. And I didn't know that there was such a big fan following.
Oh yeah,
it was huge.
And mind you, this is a This is a small convention in Bethesda, Maryland. And people for this convention were like all over the East Coast. I mean, I believe our furthest northern interview was Brooklyn, New York. Our furthest south was from Florida.
Yeah.
And then we actually, because Becky and Frank from Tiny Kitten Teeth, they're actually originally from New Zealand, aren't they? Or at least Frank is.
Frank is from New Zealand.
Cool.
Becky actually immigrated from the U.S. to New Zealand.
So they are in New Zealand as of this time.
Yeah, although I think he's saying that they've moved back to the U.S.
Okay.
John Allison, of course, is from the U.K.
We're from Great Britain. That was another thing. And
I can't believe we got that interview.
I want to go ahead and take the opportunity. We want to thank John Allison, because John Allison, with every single other interview we had at this convention, we had scheduled, you know, could you guys possibly take some time off from the convention? I know you guys are busy making money. Could you guys possibly take some time to let us interview you? John Allison was a very special exception to that. John Allison wasn't there in the convention sense. John Allison was on vacation at this convention. He wasn't at a table. He wasn't he wasn't promoting a book. John was on vacation, and when we Twittered him, we were like, hey, you know, could we interview? And he was like, he was so gracious and said, yeah, just shoot me an email before I leave to head out there and we'll set it up.
Yeah.
And we got from Bully Going Nowhere, John Allison, we want to thank you.
Yeah. I mean, he had stated on his website, on the Bad Machinery page, this was his first time going to a convention just as a guest, not as an exhibitor, since 2001. every year he's gone to a convention, he's, you know, had a table, he's had the typical convention duties, and this his first time just going as a guest, just going to enjoy himself, and he still takes time to basically do work.
Right. To interview a very small podcast that still has a subdomain, and yeah. he's like, okay, I'll just take my time to interview these Yankees with their Zoo Radio experience.
Yes. I mean,
what was with that? He called our setup
because it's basically, you know, we don't have an official setup. It's sort of like guerrilla radio.
I mentioned guerrilla radio.
Right. I think that's the British equivalent.
See, I thought he was talking about like morning zoo, like your typical, you know, FM morning radio show. Because he also said something about the traffic report. I don't know.
Chapel Four.
After he left, we were all like, what the hell is Zoo Radio?
I'm betting it's one of those two things.
But I mean, that interview went amazingly well.
I couldn't say anything. I was like, if people kind of complain that I didn't say anything in the interview, well, I'm sorry. He's very, very, very intelligent, and I feel like a dumb ass compared.
Yes.
And he's very eloquent with his words, as you may hear.
Is it just me, or does the man's voice is like liquid honey is being injected into your eardrums?
And there's no ums or ahs or you know. And, no. You know, it was just
straight up elocution, dude.
Pure English being spewed out, and he didn't pause for a second. He just went from one idea to the next with a breath with a single breath in between, and it was so fluent. It was amazing.
Here's a perfect example of what we're talking about, folks.
That's just his voice, not to mention
right.
what
we're not
he
talking
does
about
his excellent
content,
work.
Which is, I mean, as we said, amazingly intelligent. We're doing a sound check, and you know, we're like, all right, we're going to do a sound test. Just say anything, you know, just start talking. And instead of just being like, you know, hey, hi, or check, test, or something, he launches into a story about wolves, which we all became immediately fascinated with. And we're just like...
Like yeah. Wolves in top hats.
Yes. And he stopped for a second because he thought I got it. And I was like, all right, let's talk about the wolves some more.
Keep going, man.
And then I kind of had to switch to a beat. I'm like, okay, Justin, talk about wolves. What do you think about that wolf?
I'm like...
Colin.
It's like, he had to take a moment to actually remember, oh, wait, shit, there are two other people I have to check their sound. He was actually so into the wolf story.
Yeah, but Sean's like, I don't want to listen to these other two assholes. I want to listen to John Allison talking about wolves. I mean, the sad thing is we weren't recording because
a British guy talking about
test.
Wolves is probably like, I don't know, it was pretty awesome.
Yes.
It's an awesome thing.
So definitely
check that episode out. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely check out the John Allison episode. Saturday was definitely probably the peak of the convention. I mean, the interviews were great, but you know, we got to go around, we got to pick up swag. Ugh,
you know, do what
so much swag.
I love my AT-AT walker over a horse hurdle that says elegance.
Oh,
amazing. In the same convention,
if you can find a poster of the Old Spice guy making a Dune reference or an Imperial walker jumping over a hurdle at a dog show
or Captain Planet laying on the ground clutching his heart and all the kids with the rings gathering around. Without the rigs, just the kids.
And Monty getting shooed out for screwing up.
Like, way to go, Hart.
And guys...
There's only few people
and
get
mind
that.
You, and mind you, the description of what we've just... That was just one table.
Right. I don't mean... All those things we just said, that's at one booth. There are,
one
like,
booth.
Hundreds of exhibitors.
Hello with cheese.
Hello with cheese.
Yeah.
Also another interview.
Hundreds of exhibitors. But I think we're burying the lead a little bit on this whole SPX thing, because apparently... We gotta talk about this breakfast.
Okay.
Okay. Let me start by saying.
All right.
Let me start by saying I got there. Colin and Sean got there, you know, way before me, and I get there. The first thing they say to me, the very first thing they say to me is, "Oh my God, this breakfast we had was amazing." And then each of them shows me a picture that they'd taken on their phone of the breakfast.
Yep.
I'm like.
It was the Breakfast of Champions. You walk in there, it looked kind of hoity-toity. I was like, it looks all right. It's got a little couple benches there, whatever. I am not one for scenery, apparently. But we sit down, and, you know, it's taking a little long. We started to grumble a little bit. Then she's like, oh, here's your orange juices. Oh, and here's a complimentary berry smoothie. And that tasted awesome. The orange juice. It was fresh. That was fresh squeezed.
It was freshly squeezed. It was
freshly
not, it
squeezed
wasn't concentrate.
Orange juice. Because you can taste a difference.
Yeah.
Obviously.
I mean, you're saying there's a guy actually in the back with a press.
Like, trust
squeezing
me.
Squeezing out these oranges.
You drink Minute Maid, you know it's concentrate. You drink this, and you're like, holy shit, what the fuck are they doing back there?
Maybe
with this?
Lovingly caressing the orange. You know,
I don't know. I wasn't involved in the process, but you know what? You could taste the difference. You
so,
really could.
So I had the omelet. I was ordering one of their three egg omelets, and the one I had was with wild mushrooms and fontina cheese. That's it.
That's all he got.
That's it. It was just I knew he would like whip the eggs with heavy whipping cream because the eggs were so fluffy. It felt like a cloud, and it didn't taste like egg at all. It just tasted good, and the fontina cheese mixed with like the wild mushroom, and it kind of forms this taste. It just melts in your mouth, and then I go over to the other end of the plate, and there's this little square dish of berry infused. Just berries and all the different
like,
kinds. We got raspberries,
like
got blueberries.
Right now, for the listening audience, that Sean has a massive erection, just a real humdinger.
My pants are off. Anyway, don't look at that guy. Seth. Just keep your eyes above. Trying to
keep it above waist level.
Okay, you know what my breakfast was that day? A microwave breakfast sandwich, sausage, egg, and cheese on a croissant. From 7-Eleven, Nesquik, chocolate milk, double chocolate, mind you.
Double chocolate.
And an apple a yogurt parfait, which I didn't even eat until later.
See, this is
I eat this in the car.
Yeah, and see, here's the thing. You say that now, that's not our fault. We got up on time. You were the one who was late.
Okay, I'm not.
Yeah.
For the breakfast, I'm just pointing out
the excellence. And plus, they had like awesome hash browns. And
I couldn't even get McDonald's breakfast because I couldn't find.
It was too late.
I missed. Okay,
you missed the cutoff.
So we're officially.
The reason I missed the cutoff is because I turned into the wrong road because apparently it didn't connect to the McDonald's parking lot. And then 5 minutes late because of that, of having to turn around.
And you just missed it.
Just missed it. Those people at McDonald's, they don't
fuck
care about your feelings
or your livelihood. They don't care if they hit you. I was walking across the street from McDonald's
really
the other day in front of 85 in Frederick, and this one guy almost creamed me. I was just stumbling from my car to go get some coffee because it's cheaper there than going to, you know, Fuck Bucks, whatever you call it, and. So I didn't want to spend $3. I want to spend like $2.50 and get a nice cappuccino.
$3? What are you kidding?
I mean, $5 or whatever.
$3 at Starbucks will get you like a
urine size cup of coffee.
A portion cup. A Dixie cup. Full of just regular coffee.
With
no cream, no sugar.
With a jizz of milk cream on it.
Yeah, they spit in it to you.
A milk cream.
They spit in it too.
Alright,
so...
Anyway, we gotta plug this place. It's the
Meritage.
Meritage at in the Marriott in Bethesda, Maryland.
The Bethesda Hotel... the Bethesda Marriott Hotel and Convention Center.
Exactly.
Yes.
I recommend it.
Actually, and the funny thing is, that was just... Now, mind you, that description that Sean gave you, that was just his breakfast. My breakfast...
Dum-dum-dum.
My breakfast was what they call the All-American. And it was three eggs, scrambled, cheese, bacon. And normally when I get bacon, I get it, like, burnt. Because I'll actually, you know, I like it crispy, right? But they got it at that perfect consistency where it's not too flimsy, but it's
It looked awesome.
Oh.
It didn't look like the ones where like they kind of threw it on there for a second and you.
Right.
You
it know, wasn't. Yeah.
I thought I heard it oink. No. Yeah. It's, pretty it's much. One of those, it's one of those where it's like.
It was actually cooked like properly. Like someone knew what they were doing.
We are not skinny people, by the way.
No. No, by no stretch of the imagination. All anyway, right. Order a white toast, hash browns, and then now I want to point this out. Okay. When we go to breakfast, you know, we usually go to joints like McDonald's or Waffle House. Maybe on a good day we'll go to IHOP if we got, you know, the extra cash to throw around, right?
Right.
So we go in here, right? And they hand us our food, and there is about, you know, let's say about a 3x4 dish, very shallow plate, but it's got fresh fruit in it.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking like a couple of grapes. Maybe a strawberry. We're talking nice strawberries, blueberries, blackberries, grapes. It's fucking all over the gamut of fruit.
You were just excited as all hell about this fresh fruit. I mean,
I was like, holy shit!
I have never fresh fruit and then slice it for you.
This is quite honestly the second. Either
when do you get fresh fruit at a place that doesn't look like crap or
when you get fresh fruit at a restaurant
that tastes
anywhere.
Good.
All right, look, I'm not denigrating your breakfast experience at all.
I think you are.
I'm just saying
it's jealousy.
It was so good.
It sounds to me like you guys just don't have that sophisticated palate if fresh fruit is enough to make you just jizz in your pants.
Well, usually at most places it's just fresh fruit, but it comes with high fructose corn syrup and just like sodium benzoate kind of crammed up your ass. Like it's.
Yeah, their definition at a chain restaurant of fresh fruit is a can of peaches that they crack open. We're talking fruit that was literally plucked from the vine, dipped in the finest spring water, and then hand chopped.
You know what the word literally means, right?
Yeah, I know what it means.
It means it actually happened.
Yes!
All right, unless you saw someone. Literally picking this fruit from
the dude was on.
We looked at the dude doing it.
Unless there is an orchard in the restaurant, you know what?
That black dude can cook.
Yes,
he can cook.
It doesn't matter.
Awesome.
What the color of his skin is? Just something.
We have the right to defend our fruit porn. Okay.
Yes.
Like I said, you're not. I'm not saying you can't enjoy your breakfast.
Anyway, SPX was great.
SPX.
It was great. We went off on this whole weird tangent, but I'm not gonna lie.
Hey, he mentioned it.
If you're still listening at this point, listen to the interviews. They're great. Really informative stuff. And
what? Hey, wake up. Hey.
By all means, go to SPX if you live in the area. Go to SPX next year. I want to second something that Sean said. I'm not a convention going person either. I would never go to, you know, Comic-Con or something like that because I don't really like crowds.
Anthrocon? Is that your thing?
Comic-Con. Or any of...
Anthro... I'm sorry. Keep going.
Even Baltimore Comic-Con, I'm not setting foot in that.
Well, and see, that's the thing. Something that we had talked about with some of our interviewees is that they double up at conventions. They go to SPX, but then they go to, like, Baltimore Comic-Con. They go to comic conventions, and just the sheer difference between people who go to a comic book convention, you know, and they see cosplayers.
Well, I think that's why they use the term expo instead of con, because that it's just the term con has its whole connotation. I mean, there's no cosplaying here. There's no, you know, people walking around with cat ears. I would say the majority of the people there have bathed, you know.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I smelled something that was questionable.
But you put 300 people into a crammed room with barely any air conditioning going on. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, I mean, that's just going to happen. You know, I saw some.
Well, that happens with nerds. It's not like we smelled at MAGFest last year.
But overall, yeah, we're not exactly. There's no fat guys walking around in Pikachu suits. Overall, yeah, it's a pretty subdued
Yoshi
experience.
Outfits.
Yeah. And I couldn't recommend it more highly. So everyone,
and this one actually had comics in it.
Yes, actual comics. Like, I mean, Comic-Con is supposed to be a comic convention. the comics are in like a back seat at most, at best, at Comic-Con now. It's almost movies. More about movies or video games.
There should be a movie con.
It's movies and it's movies and interviews and, you know, signatures and, you know, autographs and all that shit. That's the actual point of the convention is really, yeah, it's basically, you said, it's taking a back seat.
Yeah.
Which is kind of depressing.
So, yeah. All right, enough of us yammering on. Let's get to the stuff you care about. We got a whole slew of great interviews for you. We'll be back probably in a week or two with some more, you know, resuming our regular episodes, regular schedule. So until then, I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
And I'm Sean Holmes.
And we are boldly going nowhere.
Outro.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Loose Trace Memos production.
Greenfish! Greenfish!
Greenfish! It's a Meritosh fish.
I hate you guys so much.